Well, I'm thankful for a new roof.
Amen.
And that is the easiest one I ever put on this church. The others cost me a whole lot more work. And by the way, we did. Because we built most everything here. But we've gotten older. I really do like it that they put it up. Of course, it's not so nice to find your flashing on the ground, but such is life. Let's hope the warranty is past the pickup in the driveway. Some of the warranties aren't even worth the pickup in the driveway. I read about these people all the time that somebody gives them a sorry deal and collects some money off of them and runs off and leaves them with things half done and whatever. They've done a beautiful job. Got a few little things probably need to be taken care of, but praise the Lord. And then this next week, if we get the parking lot done, praise the Lord. Get a few things done. Every once in a while. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read 23 verses. Follow along by beginning at verse 1. Excuse me. Mark 7:1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. And many other such like things ye do. And when he had called the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, these are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. Amen. And defile the man. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that we received, and we have received many. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to gather together and look at Your Word. Amen. And I pray that You'd touch every one of us. Touch our hearts. Draw us closer to You. Amen. If there be a person that is not saved, may they understand what You want and be saved. And may all of us as Christians be drawn closer to You. Amen. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only You can give. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Churches have a lot to do with their outward manner. In fact, many churches have their own commandments. You know, you got the Ten Commandments in the Bible, and then you got the commandments of the church. You have to have a coat, you have to have a tie, you have to have this, you have to have that, something else. There's lots of different rules. So he's talking back here to these Pharisees and scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now, these people are thinking something is really important. And in the Jewish religion, the priest had a certain clothing that they dressed by. You could recognize a priest. And then the high priest, he had the Urim and the Thummim and these gold, these special stones that God would speak to them with. And they had a lot of things was for show. A whole lot of it was outward. It was visual. It was different colors in the tabernacle, and the offering benches are gold and stuff like that. It was very much outward. And the truth is, when I first got saved, I was saved in a Southern Baptist congregation, and I was really taught that you needed to wear a suit and tie to church. Really did. And especially a preacher behind the sacred desk. And I did that for about 14 years. We would go down and preach in front of the Alamo in July sun with coats and ties. Jim Campbell would have a coat and tie, and he'd be singing on a 75-watt PA system out there. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? And then I'd get up and preach. And boy, we'd be drenched with sweat by the time we got through with that. But, hey man, we were doing what we thought we were supposed to do. In fact, I kept on thinking that until I went to the mission field. Now, when I was an evangelist, I was supposed to dress nice. Oh, I'd have been in trouble if I'd have got up in one of those churches like I am right now. I really would have. They'd never had me back. That's why some of them don't want me now. I went to Guatemala. I preached in a coat and tie, white shirt, to Indians that didn't have shoes. It began to look a little funny to me. I thought, man, here I am. I'm preaching this gospel to them. I'm driving a brand new pickup. I live in a nice house. I've got shoes. And I've got a coat and a tie. And I begin to think in my mind, it's not the way it ought to be. I'm not doing the right thing. And so I began to change on my own. I just began to change on. I began to go out with a shirt, a pair of pants and a shirt, and didn't take a suit all the time. And it was, first of all, just simply a in my mind, a practical thing. But you know, as I've looked through the Bible, I see, yes, in the Old Testament, your outside looks, everything about the temple and the tabernacle and all of that, about the priesthood, is a very, very visual thing. Well, a lot of that has come on over into Christianity. And that's why some people do not feel like they're even worshiping in a building such as we have. They want beautiful things. They want crosses. They want stained glass windows. They want something to put them in a spiritual mind. But when you look at it, Jesus is coming back, and His disciples are, they didn't go out and do the special washing. Now you see, the scribes and Pharisees had rules beyond the Bible. Rules of washing, in fact, saved their lives in many cases, probably in the world, because they had good hygiene. But they were making it a spiritual thing. Not just the hygiene and not just the habit. Why don't your disciples do what we do? How come you don't follow the commandments? Well, they weren't talking about the commandments in the Bible. They were talking about the commandments made up by the fathers and others that had added on very much. As in much of Christianity, there's been a lot of add-on. Not everything that you see in Christianity comes from the Bible.
Amen.
A whole lot of it comes from what good men thought would be a better way.
Amen.
Well, at any rate, I begin to preach like this, and when I come back from the mission field, when I go visit somebody, when I held a revival meeting for them, I was preaching suits and ties. I don't want to offend them in any way. But when I preached on my own, or preached in the street, or when I preached in the church that I was teaching, I gave up the suits and ties. You know what a tie is? It's a restriction by the devil trying to hold back the Word of God. Choke it off. Now, some of you really like to dress up, and I'm proud of you. You add a little class to us. And I think we ought to look decent. Let me tell you what, on some of these outward things, some of you ladies, you need to cover up. And some of you need to teach your daughters to cover up instead of expose themselves.
Amen.
It's really embarrassing. It really is. And we have raised a generation of women that don't think anything about it. But the truth is, flesh is a temptation. All flesh is a temptation. And you ought to cover that flesh. God covered the flesh of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God did. Skins of animals. And they gave them clothing. And you know what? You need clothing, and you need to be covered up. And I know it's crazy. We live in a time of computers and television that has so much exposure, so much even nudity, complete nudity. Everything is based on that. I was noticing some advertisement about this hotel, and they showed the swimming pool, and there had to be 30 beautiful models in bikinis in this advertisement. I have never been to a swimming pool where I saw that many beautiful women. And the men, they weren't walking around with a six-pack here. They're all with a Big Apple. Isn't that right?
Amen. Amen.
So we've got a distorted view. I don't want to say, but what I'm saying today, that you should not worry about the outside. I don't want to say that it's not important. But what I do want to say is, it's not the most important.
Yep. Amen.
And it ought to be put down where it ought to be, second place.
Yep. Amen.
Third place, fourth place, somewhere down the line. In fact, God is interested in the heart.
Amen.
In the New Testament, it is in the Old Testament too, very clearly. But by the way, I tell you what, in the New Testament it just comes out clearer and clearer. How much less important is the outward design, is the outward dress, is the outward appearance? And I find it just a real good Bible scripture. God's interested in the heart, the inner man, not outward clothing or appearance. I'd been doing this for a long time. I had a sweet lady, and we were good friends. Her husband and I were great friends. And she was always giving me a little advice on how I could dress up a little better. And I went down to preach for him in Killeen, Texas. And so when I preached for him, I carried a sport coat and tie. And I preached in a sport coat and tie, and she came up to me, "Oh, Brother Lindell, I am so happy you dressed up for God today." And I said, "Honey, I didn't dress up for God. I dressed up for you." Do you know what God sees? He sees my innermost thoughts. And you know what? God is not impressed. If I had a $10,000 suit like these basketball coaches wear, can you believe that? I don't know how a suit can be worth $10,000. It's got golden threads running through it or something like that. But I would not be any more dressed up nor impress God any more than if I were up here in a t-shirt.
All right. Amen.
I don't mean that we should be offensive, and we probably ought to dress up a little more. You ought to be, you know, let your wife dress you sometime. We ought to. But the truth of the matter is, God is interested in the heart, not in what kind of clothes you wear to church.
Amen.
Other than, as I said, the flesh should be covered up. And that's not stupidity. That's intelligence. Well, at any rate, here they come down, and he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain," this is verses 6 and 7, "howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, notice here, it's along the same lines. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart's a long ways away from me. God, Jesus makes a difference here. He said these Pharisees, they're big with religion on their lips. You know any people like that? The town's full of them. Churches are full of them. We give lip service to the gospel. We give lip service to preaching to the lost. We give lip service to giving. We give lip service to standing against sin. We give lip service to confession. We give lip service to the Lord, but our hearts don't go along with it.
Amen.
You know what you need for revival? You need your hearts right.
Amen.
We could all dress up in a coat and tie and a gown and gowns and whatever and come here. It wouldn't bring us a revival, but if we all get our hearts right, then revival would come.
Amen. Keep preaching. We need it. Amen.
You sure do. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And there's something else. In vain.
That's right.
In vain do they worship me? He says they're worshiping him. And he said it's all in vain. He said, in vain do they worship me. Because it's not from the heart.
Amen.
See, it doesn't much matter what's hanging on the wall. It doesn't much matter whether this is this or a pew or a folding chair or if we're all sitting around on the floor. The heart's what matters. And our hearts must be right. We can never serve God right if our hearts are wrong. And salvation is not outward joining of a church and being baptized in a tank of water somewhere. It's being saved on the inside, in the inner man, in the inner heart, in the spiritual man, the eternal things. It's not what you do outside.
Amen.
So many people think, okay, just walk down the aisle, sign a card, or pray with the preacher, follow him in baptism,
Amen.
Then come to church on a regular basis, and you're saved. Well, maybe not.
Right.
I venture to say, the churches are full of unsaved people.
Amen.
I was one of those unsaved people. I was one of those unsaved people. I was a member of the church. I'd been baptized. I went to church every once in a while. But I wasn't saved. And when God saved me, He changed my heart. Boy, it was all different. It wasn't just religion outside, although I probably still have too much of that in me. But it was from the heart. And now I wasn't doing some things simply because they were wrong. And now I loved what I hated and hated what I loved. He said, in vain. Do you want your worship to be in vain?
No.
What good is vain worship? Can it do you any good? Can vain worship do you any good before God? Because that's the only place it matters. You see, almost any religion's pretty good. Most religions teach morality. Most religions have some rules. If you go by, they'll give you a better life. Most religions are very good about wanting to give a testimony in front of the world out there. But they're not any good if they don't work when you die.
Amen.
Your religion is not worth having if it's not worth having on the day you die.
Amen.
If you've been worshiping for 60 years and it's all in vain, what good did you do?
Amen.
What benefit have you gotten? Absolutely nothing. Look down at verse 13. He has in verse 11 a word says korban. As I understand it, they had a law, they had a rule, that as I, as a member of this Jewish community, if I would dedicate certain of my income to the synagogue, then I didn't have to take care of my mother and father. They were old. That's as I understand this right here. So in other words, among the Pharisees, I've got old folks, and they need help, but I don't want to give it. So the church, the Pharisees, or whoever, they say, if you make this vow, then you don't have to take care of your parents anymore. We'll give you a slide. And so what Jesus is saying to them, he said, verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You've made a commandment, and you've made it convenient, and you've made it for the benefit of the congregation, but what you've done is allowed people to not fulfill the commandment that said, honor thy father and thy mother. So what you've basically done in the nice little rule you brought up and the nice little teaching or practice that you brought into the congregation is called them to deny the Word of God. You think there's anything like that in churches today? I guarantee you there are. I won't get into that because that's not my topic. He said, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. Can you do something religiously that negates the Bible? You sure can. You can be very religious. You can dress the part. You can walk the walk. You can talk the talk.
All right.
And you know what? You might be messing up the Word of God.
Amen.
What a shame. You know how valuable the Word of God is? It's so valuable. Billy's been preaching on it. How the whole world has been affected. Let me tell you something else. You want to study something in history a little bit? Study where this book has been preached. Study where Protestant Christianity has been preached in the world. You'll find the most prosperous nations, the freest nations in the world. Greatest prosperity. Nothing to compare to it. God's blessing falls where His Word goes.
Amen.
And because His Word has been honored in this country for all these years, we just reaped a natural blessing, and even if you weren't one of those spiritual ones, you got the blessing flowed over on top of you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Because the Word of God is a blessing.
Amen.
Now, it says in verse 15, there is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. Now, some of us, like myself, I'm a teetotaler. When I got saved, I quit drinking. I don't smoke and I don't drink any alcohol except, what's that? NyQuil, right. I get my little toddy NyQuil every once in a while. It's medicine. So I have a little problem. Hard for me to say there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. In my mind, sometimes I have a problem with that, with these kids taking dope and drugs and alcohol and beer. I don't want it in my house. I don't want to have it around. I don't want to cook with it. I don't care if all the alcohol is cooked completely out of it before I ever eat it. I don't want it. I have a real problem with putting some things in my mouth. I don't even like shrimp. There's no religious reason. I like steak.
Amen.
But at any rate, Jesus made a point here. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get sick from eating something that had germs on it. That going into you could, but not defile you before God. What it does mean is he said nothing. Although I would still tell you that it'd be nice not to ever touch it. But he said, that doesn't defile you. Just the drinking or the eating of something from without that goes into your mouth and down into your stomach and out in the draught doesn't defile you. What does defile you? It says, but the things which come out of him, these are they that defile the man. He said, if any man hears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, on verse 17, from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing that from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into drought, purging all meats. You see, the Jews could eat certain meat, and certain meat they couldn't eat. There were certain fish. Oh, one of my favorites, catfish. Doesn't have scales. Jews couldn't eat it. I like pork sausage. I can eat pork sausage. Ooh, breakfast, gravy and biscuits with pork sausage just piled up with salt and pepper. Wow. Oh, that's good stuff. Purging all meats. Jesus here in the New Testament is telling them what Paul told them later. Anything you thank God for, you can eat. Amen. Even if it had been offered to idols down in some temple somewhere before they brought it out to the butcher shop and you went by and bought your 2 or 3 pounds or whatever, 2 or 3 steaks. That doesn't defile you. Says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. What comes out? What comes out? Oh, you've listened to it so many times in your life. You heard it from your friends when you were a kid. You probably heard it from your parents at certain times. You certainly heard it on your television or your movies or read it in your books. You know what comes out of a man? Here's what comes out of the heart of men. Evil thoughts. You can just work all you want to, and you're still going to have evil thoughts. I remember one Saturday night, I was sitting in the back room a long time ago. I had my Bible and some paper, preparing a message for Sunday, next morning. And I'm praying. And all of a sudden, in my mind, while I'm praying, blasphemous thoughts, really ugly, nasty things against God came in my mind. And I said, that's not me. And I said, forgive me, forgive me. And I went back and tried to pray again. This lasted for about 30 minutes. And I just finally realized, my sins are sensual. Oh yeah, I'm lustful, I'm wicked, I've got anger, I'll fight you. But I don't say blasphemous things against God. And it brought to my mind, these are coming from your enemy, the devil. He's trying to mess with you tonight. And I rejected him. I said, get thee behind me. Leave me alone. You don't own anything here. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's in my soul. You have no rights. And it was in a long, hard fight that night. I was really exhausted. Only time in my life I've ever had anything like that happen to me. But what I want to say is, out of the heart, that's where these evil thoughts come. It's out of your heart. It's not out of what you ate. It's not out of the clothes that you wear. It's not even out of the place you go necessarily. It's out of the heart. Have you ever seen the wickedness of your own heart? Do you still recognize the wickedness in your own heart that some little vision or some little opportunity or some little temptation can come and just knock you off your feet? Because you still have wickedness in your heart. You've got a dual thing. You have the Spirit of God and you have the Spirit of the flesh.
Amen.
And that's where your defiling comes from. This is where you get in trouble.
Amen.
Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Well, what's a real big one? How about adulteries?
Amen.
Think that's happening to anybody today? You think it's happening in any churches today? You think there are any pastors going to lose their job and lose their family next week because of adultery? Oh yeah. You may not hear about it, but it'll happen. Fornications. You reckon any young people getting in trouble? They decide they don't have to wait. They decide it's all right. Everybody's doing it. I don't know how many times I was told that. Daddy, everybody's doing it. And I said, I'm somebody and I'm not doing it. So you're wrong. Everybody's not doing it. Fornication. How about murders?
Amen.
You ever gotten mad enough to actually kill somebody?
Guilty.
Probably.
Amen.
Probably. Verene's probably been mad enough to kill me a few times. Thefts. You know, having somebody steal something from you really makes me mad. And upset. It's not that I'm not... I got so much food. I got my garages full. I got my barns full. I don't just have garages full. I have an attic full and I have a barn full. I got all sorts of things. Oh, yeah, but it just irritates me when somebody steals something. Not even if it was important or not. I don't like a thief. And yet I was one. How about covetousness? Oh. I'm there.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
I got so many things in my house that I should not have bought. I've given away a lot of nice things that I will never use. But I bought it because it was a bargain. I bought it because I had an opportunity. I bought it because I needed it so bad I couldn't live without it. And then I realized, you idiot, you idiot, you idiot. You ever tell yourself that? I have told myself that so many times in my life. Covetousness. How about just plain old wickedness? Oh, yes, I can imagine terrible things. I see some things that go down and I feel sorry for somebody, and I can just imagine if they did it to me what I'd do to them. Are you wicked like that? Yeah, comes out of your heart. How about deceit? Ah, what fun to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. What fun it is to slip it to them gently. Johnny Newman and Shirley came up to Blanket when I was going to college. We were all playing Monopoly. The boys against the girls. And so Johnny handled our money and I handled the bank account. The two girls just had almost all the property and all the hotels. And every time we rolled, we landed on something. But old Johnny would just pay them off. He wasn't a banker. What I was doing, I was barefooted, and I was taking those $500 bills and $100 to put it between my toe, and I'd pass it under the table to him. And he'd take it and put it in his stack there. And he and I were having a great time. Because they were wondering, how can you keep paying us off? Where do you get this money? And we got to laughing and told them, made Shirley so mad, she jumped up, picked up the kids and headed to San Antonio. And we weren't thinking anything bad. Hey, it's a big joke. Yeah, it was a big joke for us, you know. Deceit. Lasciviousness. Oh, yeah. The flesh looks good to everybody. An evil eye. I'm not too sure if I've ever seen an evil eye, but I would say that's pretty bad. I'm not exactly. I haven't got the definition down for that one, okay? I'm going to skip that. Blasphemy. Pride.
Amen.
Foolishness.
Amen.
All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You don't need to worry so much about your outside. If you'll just have your body covered, you can come in your work clothes, you can come in your nice clothes, it doesn't matter to us. We're going to accept you as you come. When I first began to preach, and for many a year, as I went out and visited people trying to invite them to church, they would say, "We don't have the clothes." Because they were expected to. And there's some churches in this town right now. If I went in there, they'd put a coat on me and a tie, or they wouldn't let me in. What about that construction worker? How does he hear the gospel in something like that? All these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles a man. Not the clothes you wear. Now in John 7:23, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I've made a man ever withhold on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus has healed somebody on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are saying, well, you're breaking the Sabbath laws. Well, you're a sinner because you've done this thing on the Sabbath day. And there are a lot of Sabbath laws around. I lived by a bunch of them when I first got saved, until I got delivered from Sabbath laws. I got delivered from the Sabbath. Worship God every day.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You know what Jesus said? He said, judge not according to appearance. That gets us in more trouble. You hear people say, I can just see the evil in you.
Amen.
I can just see the evil in you.
Amen.
I know you think this. I know you did that, and you've done it. Yeah. You think you're spiritually minded enough to see inside the heart. You can't.
Amen. Amen.
Some people look like the devil himself, are the finest Christians, and some of these sweet little things that look like they're such Christians are some of the biggest hypocrites in the world. You can't see it. Judge not according to appearance. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a man by his clothes.
All right.
But we
Amen.
Do. But we do.
Yep. All right.
I took Verlene down to Corpus when the tornado was down there, by the way. And 16 inches of rain, by the way. Was not a good trip. I don't think I'm ever going to go again. We pulled up into the hotel to park. And here's this kid. He's about as, not fat as me, but big as me. And I don't know, he could be 17 to 21 or 22. And he had on a t-shirt. And he had on shorts, real shorts. And then he had on some white shorts that were back down about the knee. But he didn't want those up around his waist. He wanted them down below his butt. And he's walking around with one hand here and one hand here, and he hitched them here and hitched them here so we could see his shorts. Don't be like that. Some of your outward things are stupid, okay? Some of them are offensive. And don't come here that way, all right? Get you a belt.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It's maybe I'm too old. I'm not sure. I do not understand some of this stuff. But let me tell you what. Judge not according to appearance. That might have been the best kid to his mama. I don't know. But he looked like a thug to me. And I thought, is he going to bust my car open while I'm in here trying to sleep? Probably ruined a good night for me. Look at James 2:1. Here's another little something. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if they come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, And come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Man, they come in, he's got a gold ring, he's got a nice expensive suit, it fits him well, he's dressed up, he's got a tie. We want him. Let's make a church member out of him. Oh, what he could do for the church. Brian, go get him. Bring him up here. Sit him down. Give him a nice place. You know that's the truth.
Get it, brother. Amen.
Oh, me. I come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You don't want to sit by him. You don't want to shake her hand. You don't want to be close because you have a sensitive nose. God looks down on it.
Yeah, he does. Amen.
And that's the way everyone in this room thinks.
Amen.
And look what he says about it. He said, you commit sin. He said in verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom? Look, verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin.
Amen.
And confess the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all.
Amen.
Brethren, we're guilty.
Amen.
I'm guilty. We used to have the rescue mission come with us and we'd have dinner. And some of those old boys hadn't taken a bath in a while. But they're walking right by some sweet little old lady and they reach over there and put their hands on the food and grab it and pick it up. And you think, ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on. Have a little class. We get ourselves in trouble. Because we're judging by appearance, we have no idea where that man or that woman has been. We have no idea the troubles that brought them to where they are. I just thank God of all the troubles I haven't had.
Amen.
He brought me out all I've been in so far up to now.
Amen.
But I'm thankful that some of the other troubles that people have that I love, I don't have.
Amen.
That's the grace of God.
Amen.
Look at Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Outwardly, inwardly. Outwardly, inwardly. Be real careful about any of that outward stuff.
Amen.
Whether it's in the building, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your clothes, whether it's in your looks, whether it's in your prejudice. And please, all of you are prejudiced.
Amen.
I think everybody in the world is prejudiced to a certain degree. Especially that we think, however we were raised, is the best way to be raised. I'm prejudiced. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. God, who instituted circumcision and made a law that if a man was not circumcised, he was separated from the congregation. Wait a minute, we're in the New Testament now. That law has been fulfilled. Physical circumcision is not needed anymore. But in Galatians, a lot of these preachers down from Jerusalem had ran into Galatians and they said, oh, you guys are saved. Now you got to get circumcised. You have to become Jews before you can become a Christian. Paul's telling them, no. The important thing is inward. Your heart needs to be circumcised. Your heart needs to have the flesh cut away from it. Your heart needs to be bared open to God Almighty.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Amen.
For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, here's a principle. This is a rule you can go by. If you can see it, it's temporary. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Nothing that's eternal can you see. If you see it, it's temporary. If you can see it, if you can hold it in your hand, if you can carry it out, if you can use it some way, it's going to burn. And it's really not worth all that you put out on it. But hey, the things that are not seen, they're eternal. We need to put more importance on what we can't see. We need to think in ourselves more about how we are in our heart with other people and in our heart with God Almighty, because if you can see it, it will burn. And that's what he's telling you here. The things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:12. 2 Corinthians 5:12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. He's trying to tell you, we don't want to be the ones that glory in appearance. We want to be those that glory in the heart. We want to have a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. That's what's valuable. That's what God's approving of. That's what God desires.
Amen.
To find in your heart. And all this judgment. Well, look at that. Yeah, look here. Look at that. Well, I have to admit I've got a lot of that in me. I see a woman with tattoos on her breast or tattoos on her butt, and I think, goodness gracious. And I'm not trying to pick on you if you've got several tattoos where I don't know. But it does not thrill me. In fact, I do not understand all of the craziness about tattoos in this generation.
Amen.
They're nuts. I've seen people with tattoos all across their faces.
Amen.
Why? You weren't ugly enough before?
Amen.
Billy use one of the verses that I'm thinking of. It's 1 Samuel 16:7 this morning. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen.
They go down there to Samuel. Samuel goes down there to Jesse's household. And he said, I'm going to anoint a king. Well, that big firstborn son walked up there and he looked good. Big, strong, scrappling man. I said, not him. And they brought them all up. Not him. Any one of them would have been a good king as far as the appearance. But here's this young scruffy kid, 16, 17 years old. Maybe red haired. And God said, anoint him. Anoint him. That's my king. Why? For man looketh on the outward appearance, and the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen.
Look at Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All that's in the heart. You thought much about this? I don't know of any verse that convict me more than these verses right here. Every time I read them, I say, there's no way I fulfill that. There's no way. I've had a preacher even tell me, that's what I live by. Boy, you're different than me. I love me before I even love God. I love me before I love my wife or my children. I love me. I recognize it. What God wants you to do with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Well, can you ever come into God's presence without repenting first? Can you ever walk into the presence of God or think about God without thinking how you have failed Him, how you have not lived up to what you should have lived up to? I lived 54 years in repentance. I'm always repenting. Amen. Have you ever done something you're embarrassed about? Oh, I think about some things every day. And I think, how can I be so stupid? Because I got a bad heart. Because I got problems that way. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself on these two commandments, saying all the law and the prophets. In 1 John 8, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. And I'm going to stop here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Amen. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Don't stand up before God and tell Him how you haven't sinned. Boy, you're standing on the wrong ground.
Amen.
You walk into the presence of Almighty God, the Creator of the whole universe, the One that gives us so much by grace, says if we confess our sins. Well, that's sin. You need to confess them.
Amen.
And you need to think about it day by day. Hey, I'm not a very good servant.
Amen.
I'm not a very good preacher. I'm not a very good soul winner. I'm not a very good example of a Christian. Lord, I don't love You like I ought to love You. I love myself too much.
Amen.
But you know, the grace of God, He says if we confess our sins. He said, you come to Him and, Lord, I've done this. And I've done that. I've let You down. I failed me. I failed my family. I failed my church.
Amen.
I failed You. I let You down.
Amen.
Forgive me. And what does He say? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the opportunity I offer you today. Come to the Lord. Confess your sins. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him forgive you.
Amen.
He has the power to do that. My Christian friend, I don't care how much you've strayed or gone away, God is there with forgiveness.
Amen.
My dear lost friend, man or woman, boy or girl, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ has the power to justly forgive your sins and to save your soul. To enter your life to make you a new creature. You have need of the Lord. Come to Him. Lord, bless Your word. Help us.